Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati. Jason Williams, Sherry Coolidge. I caught Sherry off guard with that intro.
Jason Williams, kind of smooth today.
Working on my radio voice here today, my podcast slash radio voice, Silent Phil and the Ones and Tis. Our special guest today is Ready Cincinnati CEO and President Kim Lauterbach. And Sherry.
And my Leadership 45 classmate, too.
Your Leadership 45.
Probably doesn't put that in her title, but that's true.
All the bullet points on her resume.
You know what?
Leadership 45 classmate of Sharon Coolidge from The Inquirer. I'm looking forward to having Kim on today. And I know we'd mentioned I'd referenced having a big guest. We had a scheduling conflict and we hope to have him. We're not even going to say. We'll let you know when it happens.
That's what we get for teasing it.
Yes. But I'm really looking forward to having Kim on. I've actually never talked to her before. I didn't mean that to sound weird. Like, I've actually never talked to her before. I didn't for that mean to sound weird. You know, we talk to so many people in this job and
all
business
day,
and
every
politics.
Day.
And
if my phone doesn't die three times in a day, it's like, did I even work?
Looking forward to having Kim on. She was a huge, her and her organization, which does, you know, recruits, marketing, economic development. If you see jobs coming to this region, Ready Cincinnati is the big reason why they're bringing jobs to the region. And Ready Cincinnati also played a huge part in last Friday's pitch to FIFA World Cup officials. And so we want to talk to Kim about that and anything else that she's got going on with her organization, which again is very involved in a lot of huge projects. Sherry, first, this is our political segment. And
what should we talk about? There's a million things.
I say we talk about your huge litter story today.
So it was the kind of story that, you know, I didn't hear somebody talk about in City Hall or somebody's initiative to fix it. It's from me going on walks in the city and driving in the city. And it is just, it never gets fixed. And I go back to 2018, Mayor John Cranley, you know, he realized it was a problem. It was a big part of his city budget, raised the stormwater rates, but I'm going to create a crew of 15 people and we're going to clean up litter. And I have to say, I haven't seen any changes. I haven't. And I was like, what's going on? And so I partnered up with Brianna Rice, another reporter here. And we, this summer, herself, me, Amanda, one of the photographers, was like, she came and we would go on litter tours of the city based on city data and drive around and look at these properties, the different ones, like what are the worst zip codes? Who has the most complaints? What are the places the city's most cleaned up? Stopped at one of those over in East Price Hill on Parkson Avenue, and it just was really striking. The neighbors were cleaning it up.
I'm gonna read this quote from your story, and one of the quotes from a lady who lives in the neighborhood who's experiencing people dumping mattresses, people are doing construction in their homes or whatever. Like, you show me a picture, Sherry, of just in a yard along the street, along the sidewalk, someone just dumps an entire bathtub of it's like, what is going on here? And this quote is from one of the ladies you quoted in the story. The west side of Cincinnati is treated like a dumping ground. That's painful to read.
She thinks. She has the cutest little house. She put a lot of money into it.
Yeah.
She wants to live in the city, but she does not want to look at these things on her street. And she's at her wit's end. And I think a lot of people, that's really like the kind of the big finding, is that this is not a problem that the city has ignored. They've done a lot, but they haven't clearly done the right thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is the right thing? And so I hope that really kind of jump-started a conversation. My inbox is full today. People are tweeting pictures of the litter that they've seen. We're asking people, too. There's a file on Cincinnati.com. Upload your picture and tell us where it's at, because we want to look beyond the data. Tell us what you're seeing.
And you had another stat in there. Since 2012, 36,000 litter complaints made to City Hall. I don't know what the context of that is. Is that a staggering amount of complaints? Is that
so? Probably, the high year was 2018 with 4,000 of those. But the problem is the stormwater rates were increased in 2018. Okay, so that's the high year, right? Something's being done about it. The litter crews were actually hired. But this year we're on pace to match that or beat that. And we're 3 years down the road.
So are the litter crews – are they not going out every day? Or
they are. There's 18 people. There's 4 empty spots right now. I mean, the city hall is facing the same problems that other people are. But, okay, that's 14 people. But, you know, the head of public services was like, there's 52 neighborhoods. And on the day that I was interviewing people over at city hall early last week, the litter crew was cleaning up a homeless encampment that had sprung up in the West End. And there's another homeless encampment up by the casino. And I see one possibly getting ready to spring up on 3rd Street again, which has been a long persisting problem. So if the litter crews are working on those, they're not out in the neighborhoods cleaning up the litter that you see on the streets.
Yeah.
Or the illegal dumping, which is basically like creating mini dumps in neighborhoods in the city.
It's just, I mean, the lead to your story, you know, you referenced some of the things that you saw and our team saw when you guys were out reporting. And Brianna Rice as well worked with you on the story. Mattresses. I mean, this is like old tattered couches. Use condoms.
The day we were out at the one place and there was like a toilet in the side yard.
Toilet, yeah.
It was the third toilet of the year that was there. And it's like, how does that happen? But, you know, someone, I'm not sure I put this in the story, but someone did say to me, you know, what will people accept? Because there are certain places where it's not accepted and it's not a problem. And it's other places where people are letting it go, possibly because they think that there's not other options. And that's hard to think about.
When I see a story like that, Sherry, and I told you this earlier, that I said this is a perfect example of why people should vote and why people should get and start paying attention, more and more people paying attention to local government, because this is basic local government stuff here to address these issues and to fix it for good. Not abortion clinics being in your neighborhood like what's going on in Mason and talking about streetcars and, you know, all this other national political talking points that we hear that have trickled down into all kinds of different local races across the region. This stuff right here, this is the real stuff. This is the real stuff that local government needs to be focused on and needs to be addressing. And the way to do that, the buck stops with the voter, and the voters have to pay more attention. I got a column coming, which I talk about some of the low turnout, and just really asking for people to pay attention more, because we're at a critical time. This has been a year where things like this, things like litter and having a couch dumped in your front yard or on your sidewalk in front of your house. Those kinds of things have taken back seats to all these national talking points that are completely irrelevant in most cases to what's to local government, to your city hall, to your trustees, to your school boards and all that. And so this is why I'm just, and maybe I'm preaching to the choir here and our listeners, but I encourage folks to, you know, if you're thinking about not voting, go out and vote and tell your neighbors, your friends, your family to go vote, because the more people paying attention, the more people holding government officials accountable, the more that I think things like this, you know, the priority gets back put on local issues.
So
tangent over.
When people are getting ready to do their research, and we are in full countdown mode to Tuesday's election, there's 2 mayoral profiles up of David Mann and Aftab Pirival, and there's a little about file with the 35 candidates. The headline is, here's who's running for Cincinnati City Council, 35 people, and I'm getting ready to drop the biggest problems facing the city going forward. So we're going to kind of stop writing about specific election issues and we're going to start looking ahead. And so I really am encouraging people, look at that story and match it up to who you think, to the problems you think are the biggest problems, and to the council members and the mayor you think are going to fix them.
Yep.
Like that is a way really to do your research and take a peek at what you're really thinking about. I will say one more thing on this. Cincinnati City Council is not a popularity contest. These people are going to run your city for 2 to 4 years.
Yeah. That's very, very well said. And I'm really, really disheartened right now. I think I just shared that. And I think, I'm expressing that in a column that's going to come out here later this week. Just about, again, how we've diverted all these focus on real local. And I say this, I feel like a broken record in saying this, Sherry, is that local government makes decisions that we really see on a daily basis more so than anything the state or the federal government make. And when I say by that, these are daily basic things in our lives that we literally tangibly see. Is our garbage picked up on time? Are our streets safe? Are the potholes in our streets fixed? Are our streets paved? Is the litter addressed on our streets? Are our, you know, pedestrian safety and zoning laws? Is the big bad developer coming in and building a Walmart in my neighborhood? You know, those are the things that local government are addressing. That's not, Washington is not addressing that. Washington has nothing to do with that. The state has nothing to do with that. The state a little bit on some of those things, but it's your local and your kids' education also. It is your local school boards, mostly on that. You know, the state has some say in your education, but pay attention, pay attention. I know folks who listen to this, you're a highly engaged, hyper engaged audience, and we appreciate you. But encourage your friends, whether you live in the city of Cincinnati, you live in Mason, you live in Loveland, you live wherever you live, in Ohio this year, there is some kind of election going on. And I would encourage folks to lock in, pay attention, and get out there on Tuesday and cast your ballot. Whew. Man, I feel like I'm on a roll here. Well, enough of this garbage. Ha, ha, ha. Let's jump over and bring on our special guest, Ready's Kim Lauterbach. Special guest time here on the That's So Cincinnati podcast. And pleased to welcome to That's So Cincinnati, Ready Cincinnati, President and CEO Kim Lauterbach. Kim, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jason. How are you?
Good. We were talking there just before we jumped on and started recording, that you're still catching up on sleep from all the work that you did and the team did on the pitch to, you know, FIFA officials last Friday. And that's what we want to chat with you about that. Well, how did that go?
Absolutely. Yes. I think maybe we might be caught up on our sleep. you know, it was fantastic. I think the city really shined. As we like to talk about, you know, the crown that we have, it was in full display. And it was just so heartwarming to see the amount of support that the community poured out for us, the number of organizations and individuals that really worked to showcase the best of the best here in Cincinnati.
I mean, I felt like they gave us some glowing reviews in the little bit that we reported afterwards. But tell us kind of, all right, so you're showcasing Cincinnati, and you're putting us on the stage for them. Kind of, what did you do with them?
Sure. You know, we fortunately only had about 7 hours while they were in town. And as you all know, the weather wasn't ideal. But we really worked hard to cram in as much as we could into that 7 hour span. And we had several different groups. So we had a group that went off and looked at our different practice facilities. We were looking at all of the different colleges and universities and their fields, which is always really impressive and exciting. We had a group that was working with Julie Calvert and the CDB on potential party and fan fest locations that we were really able to show what activation could look like. You know, we're really known for those large festivals and parties that we're able people to throw. So we had a group doing that. We had a group who I don't think left Paul Brown Stadium the entire time. They were looking at the nuts and bolts of the stadium. And then we had the majority of the delegation that met with us to go through a presentation on, you know, why Cincinnati, what we had to offer, why we thought this was a good idea. We had a beautiful lunch with our business leaders to really highlight the city. They had a great press conference. We had two governors here and several of our business leaders. And then they took some tours of Paul Brown Stadium as well.
Okay, so here are two facts that I heard, and you don't have to confirm or deny unless you want to. I heard that Jeff Ruby Steaks made an appearance at that lunch.
We do love to showcase Jeff Ruby's.
Okay, and I had heard that you were touring the practice field. So I was on my way home. I live by Mount St. Joe, and I'm on my way home that day, and here comes like the motorcade, and it was like the presidential motorcade. It had like sirens and motorcycle police officers and like a big van and not the presidential limousine. And I was like, oh, the president's not back, I don't think. I might have heard that was happening. And so I think I might have saw one of those practice field visits.
I have to say that one of the most fun things was the motorcade. We had, as you can imagine, four different groups all over the city. And as I was in the main delegation, we had, the police blocking off streets, but I was watching people like waving flags out of their car windows, I think assuming it was the soccer delegation. It was so cool to see just the like genuine reaction of anyone who saw us passing. And I think a lot of people thought like you did, what the heck is going on? But it was pretty cool.
So I think now I need a flag in my car just in case. You never know.
You never know when that comes in handy.
Kim, and I talked with Jeff Birding on, I had him on my WLW show earlier this week, and he talked about how when the business community, and not just business community, but our regional leaders, civic leaders, business leaders, economic development, political leaders really come together, that they can do big things. And I am so impressed by this pitch. And yeah, I want to ask you about that, doing big things. How many years have you been with Ready?
So I've been with Ready since its inception, which is okay, about 7.5 years, and in the CEO role for a little over 3.
And when it comes to really coming together, how would this stack up on all the projects you've worked on and all these folks have come together? You rarely see this, at least publicly see this. Is it?
Right. I think that's a key word you just put in there, was publicly see it. I agree with Jeff. I think one of the absolute hidden gems, or one of our really secrets to our success in the Cincinnati region, is the absolute cooperation of the business community. When they believe in something, it is all hands on deck. And it's a really powerful combination, and you see it publicly, right? We talk about the creation of 3CDC, and we talk about the preschool promise, and you know, we talk about several of the other, you know, Ready Cincinnati even is, yep, an example of those really public initiatives that have come off the ground. And you know, I was joking, I think some of you might know Sherry and I are in Leadership Cincinnati together. We were joking about the Amazon HQ2 proposal.
This is breaking news. I wasn't aware of this.
Leadership Cincinnati.
She didn't talk about it in the beginning or anything like that.
But you know, it's very similar. There are some pitches that we do here at Ready Cincinnati that we just don't share publicly, but we always have the support of our business community. And I think it was so fun with this one because we were able to be really public, and the calls out to, you know, the community to come down to the banks, even in that terrible weather, and to watch these mascots and these kids dancing and all of the music and all of the cheering. You know, I wish I could do that on all of my business meetings. I don't know that it would go over all that well, but it's just a way to show the true heart and soul of the region.
The mascots were playing soccer. I'm almost positive I saw a picture of that from the different teams.
True. That is true.
And Kim, your job is economic development and recruiting jobs and companies to our region. Talk about that piece of the World Cup and the economic impact of it, what we could expect if we land the World Cup here from that kind of the economy standpoint.
Sure. You know, I mean, there's obviously multiple rounds of World Cup. And so, you know, we don't know which round we would be chosen for, but you know, it's upwards if you host a final match of $480 million projected economic impact. And I think, you know, the lowest number we saw was about $100 million. You know, that makes it much, much larger than even hosting the Super Bowl or the World Series or, you know, NCAA tournament, which we all think about as just huge opportunities. It's more economic impact potentially than what the Major League Baseball All-Star Game brought. And so you think about elevating the region on the world stage and this being the largest sporting event in the world, the number of eyeballs of decision makers who would be on Cincinnati for that time, watching what we can do pulling together as a world-class city. I mean, that's worth even more, I think, than the projected economic impact.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've also talked about potentially 40,000 jobs that would be created, you know, over the duration of hosting it, both before. Those aren't all permanent full-time, but again, thinking about 40,000 plus jobs that would come to the region, it's a really impressive accomplishment. And I think Jeff Birding is right when he calls it once-in-a-generational opportunity.
When we look at But, you know, you kind of just, and this is from my sort of looking at the 50,000 foot view, but I think we're second to none in terms of soccer popularity. We have great facilities for stadium, for practicing. The one thing we look at, and I see that maybe if we get the World Cup, it's a positive because it gets it going, is our convention anchor hotel downtown.
There's nothing like a good deadline, right? Like when you move into a house, what's the best thing to do? You throw a party because you can get everything all done. So I feel like the World Cup can be Cincinnati's housewarming. We'll just have a deadline for all the things that we ever wanted to do.
Yeah. But I mean, certainly that would put a deadline on our new hotel, right?
You know, I mean, that's not necessarily my piece of the puzzle, but yes, I do believe that would encourage it to get done as quickly as possible. And I think it'd be a critical piece of the bid and of welcoming that many guests to our region.
Did you get a sense on next steps? Will there be another round of a big pitch from you all and the leaders of our region to another round to soccer leaders, or is it... We wait and see now. And so
I don't believe that there's another large pitch like we did. We have been told that we can expect decisions sometime in the first quarter of 2022. That's, you know, a 90-day window. So I'd like it to be January 1st because I'm that impatient, but it could be the end of March. I do believe that there will be ongoing conversations as there are, you know, clarifications and questions and really understanding a lot of what they saw on the tour. And I'm sure that's true across the other 16 cities. But I don't believe that there'll be another round of big presentation. It will be more, we've gone through the material, we've been there, we've had our questions, and they're ready to make a decision.
Yeah. Who do they tell? Like, in your phone, do you have it like FIFA? And then it'll come up because they call you and they're like, hi, it's FIFA. How does this work?
I don't think I'm the one that gets the phone call, which I guess is a little bit disappointing. But no, certainly as you look at our four co-chairs of the event, so David Taylor, Rodney McMullen, Barbara Turner and Carl Lindner, they would certainly be within that list. And then you've got the staff, really, the CBC, the CRBC, FC Cincinnati, the CBB, and Ready as those four kind of staffing organizations.
Kim, and sort of switching gears, not so much, but I mean, like, tell us, Ready is an organization that does a lot of more, you know, behind the scenes work in, you know, B2B. You recruit businesses, you recruit companies. You know, you're outwardly facing with those folks, but not necessarily so much in the broader public. Tell us a little bit about the organization and really, you know, kind of the 101 of what you do.
It's my favorite question so far. I think you're right. I think that in certain circles, Ready is known really, really well. But as the general public, people always ask me what I do for a living. And I, you know, my kids have been trying for years to explain it. And it was so helpful when HQ2 came out. You remember the Saturday Night Live did a skit on economic developers. And so I say, I do that just a little bit differently. So, yeah, I think we're really much better known outside of the region intentionally than we are inside of the region.
Yeah.
And really our entire mission and our entire purpose is to grow both jobs and capital investment for the entire 16 county, 3-state region. And we do that by attracting new, which is, right, the really exciting ribbon cutting. You think of like SICA, or Modula that we brought to the region, but really like 80% of what we do is helping our existing companies expand. So you think we do projects with, you know, all of our big companies here and even our smaller mid-sized companies, helping them, convincing them to add a different division or another location here. And so we're helping find real estate, we're helping with workforce development, we're helping with financing, and then certainly we're helping with the, you know, incentive packages that would help convince those companies where to locate.
Did you help bring divisions over to the foundry?
We did work on that project. It's kind of exciting. We actually worked on that project in partnership with Jobs Ohio way before divisions was interested. We worked on helping get support for the foundry project to move forward as a critical office component in our central business district. And then when divisions came forward, we did work with them and their consultant on securing an Ohio package while our friends right across the river worked on the Northern Kentucky side. But the beautiful thing about divisions is Ready Cincinnati, you know, we're going to count it as a win regardless because we do cover that 16 county, 3-state region.
In the world of the pandemic, and hopefully we're coming out of that now, and so much of remote working and Zoom calls and all that, has that impacted your work? I mean, has it made life harder to recruit companies, recruit jobs? Has it made it easier? What has it impacted you at all in what you're doing?
I mean, it certainly impacted us in the height of the pandemic. You know, we're an organization who's used to helping companies grow, and we quickly shifted to an organization that was trying to help companies connect to resources to survive.
Yeah.
So that felt very different to us, but we still had a really respectable year in 2020. And I'll tell you, for 2021, we're going to have what looks to be our second best year in our history, which tells us that there was pent-up demand from the pandemic as companies were shifting supply chain, looking at ways to perhaps add another location to make sure that they were able to have maybe more wherewithal to weather any potential other issues that might come. So what's been different for us is learning how to recruit from our desktop, where we used to get on a plane and we would travel internationally. My frequent flyer, I think Delta's mad at me because I haven't been on an international trip in almost 2 years, but we've learned how to do it virtually. And I think really fundamentally economic development attraction work will change. And while we'll still be making trips, I think they will be after doing a lot of that investigational or foundational work virtually. And so we've developed drone footage of our best sites, and we figured out ways to have those conversations where we can show the assets in a virtual environment that we didn't used to do. And so I think it's been good for us to adapt to that. Now I know I'm itching to get back international travel, and hopefully we'll see that again in 2022.
Do you have a dream company that you want to come here?
Oh, that's a great question. You mean outside of the World Cup?
Outside of the World Cup, because we're getting that. So, all right. So now we'll just move on. What's next?
You know, I always say I've never met a company or a project that I don't like. We work with every company and anyone who's interested in the region. When we focus and we're outwardly attracting, we're looking at advanced manufacturing, and we're looking at biohealth, we're looking at professional services, and then, you know, technology and IT companies. So I would never call out a single company, but we are getting a lot of interest in the EV, electric vehicle space, battery components, automotive. Love to see the aerospace industry come back strong as we look at, you know, the contributions GE has made. And then our food and ag business has been really strong, and that's, you know, anchored by Kroger, but we look at a lot of those innovative companies like 80 Acres, and we look at the technology that's coming. We love all of that.
For anyone who's not eaten 80 Acres lettuce, I know this is the strangest thing. It's the best lettuce there is. I didn't know that you could have good tasting lettuce, but you can, and it's 80 Acres.
Oh my gosh, and their little firecracker tomatoes. Got a phone plug in for those too.
Kim, does Ready also, you're out recruiting all over the world, recruiting companies, but do you also, like, let's say, I'm just using an example, like Kroger wants to build a new facility in Coleraine Township. Does Ready play a role in that as well? Like with current companies being able to grow?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So I'll tell you that really any good economic development organization says about 80% of their projects in any given year come from existing industry. So I'm thinking of ones that we have announced recently that we can talk about, but we typically do projects with Kroger. We worked with them on the facility with Ocado, their partnership with Ocado and the automated facility in Monroe. So we worked hand in glove with them through those announcements. We've done multiple projects with, you know, names like TQL. We've worked with Nehemiah Manufacturing multiple times. So we certainly work with our existing industry. In fact, we hope we're sort of that first phone call and people say to us, I'm not sure if you can help, but, and our job is to connect you to resources. So even if it's not a Ready Cincinnati project, we're hopeful that we can connect those local companies to the resources they need to grow to make sure that we're removing any barriers to their growth.
How big is Ready?
We are small but mighty. We always say we absolutely do a lot with a little. So we've got 21 full-time staff. So you think about that again, we're covering 16 counties and 3 states. This year, we're on target to attract over 5,000 new jobs, about 40 to 45, maybe this year, 50-ish projects in a year. So we're doing a lot with the small staff.
You talk about hoping to grow, what'd you say, 5,000 new jobs?
Yes.
This year?
Yes.
Do you go into a year with a target goal of, hey, we want to recruit this many jobs, at least this many jobs to the region or, you know, your 16 county region this year? Is it?
Yeah, we do. And so what's interesting about Ready Cincinnati, just to make it even more confusing, is, you know, we work hand in glove with Jobs Ohio, which is the state of Ohio's private economic development group. And we are a partner. So we have some targets for our Southwest Ohio only companies or counties for growth. And then we partner that with Northern Kentucky Triad and with One Dearborn and our partners in Indiana to get a regional number. So we work off the two sets of targets, but it's always to add that many jobs. And they could be new to a new company to the region, or that same example you used, if Kroger opens another facility and added new jobs, those go into that number as well.
This was always when I was on the jobs and transportation beat for the Inquirer for, it was about 5 years. I was on it for 4 years.
To us, you're always our political columnist, but go ahead, walk down memory lane.
My favorite question I would always ask your predecessor, Johnna Reeder, would be, are we going to get new international flights to CVG? So I figure I got to ask you that, Kim. Like, are we looking at maybe getting some new international flights or an international flight to CVG?
Man, Jason, I'm wondering how Johnna answered that question.
She said, ask Candace. I bet.
I think at one point I got her to a point where, like, I put the puzzle pieces together and I figured out British Airways was in the mix at some point. I don't remember when this was, but
pre-pandemic.
But
sure,
I mean, so. That is a role. I'm joking, but like that is a role too that Ready will play, will help with, right? Like when you're recruiting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's critical for us, and our partnership with CVG can't be overstated. And, you know, certainly as we're out talking to our local companies, we're always asking, you know, where do they need to see flights? And then certainly as we're recruiting, we're looking at what that might be too. So it's a fantastic partnership, but I'll say I'm just more excited to know that Delta is bringing back that Paris flight. It's targeted for the summer of 2022. And I know I hope to be one of the first ones.
Yeah, that
on
is
it.
Good. Yeah. I mean, that's, well, GE Aviation, that's a big flight for that. I mean, from a business standpoint. Yep.
Absolutely.
Sherry, what else you got up your sleeve?
So, you know, I think one of the things the World Cup has reminded me is we really kind of rolled out the red carpet for the headquarters, Amazon's like secondary headquarters. And we had all been so hopeful. And I just kind of saw our region is just so ready for that, especially everything was happening at the airport, and now it's so much crazier even than it was then. But what were some of the takeaways that you can say, you know what, we learned from that and it's all fixed now and we're ready for that next time?
Yeah, you know, I think we were really fortunate that we had a great opportunity to debrief with Amazon officials after, and what they said that really resonated with me was, you're doing everything right. right? So there wasn't any glaring area where they said, wow, you're really deficient in X, Y, Z. It was, you have all the building blocks in place. You've got all the right strategies. You're doing all the right things. Sometimes it just takes time for markets to mature. And so I look at things like the Cincinnati Innovation District and how they are, you know, three timesing, if that's the correct word, their output of STEM students. And if that had been in place when we were having the conversation with Amazon, so instead of being aspirational, it was an implementation stage, or we had passed the transportation levy that was aspirational when we were talking to Amazon on HQ2, but now has been passed and in place. Those are the things I think make a difference, because what they said again was, you've got all the pieces. We just need to see that they're coming. They're actually, you're able to act on them. And I think now our story is, you're right, we did show you all the things that we were going to do, and now we're doing them. So I do feel very confident that, you know, should an opportunity like that come back to us, we can really show the progress we've made against the plans that we already had in place.
What's an industry, Kim, that's here in greater, you know, we hear so much Procter, Kroger, you know, GE Aviation, but what's an industry that is huge here and growing that maybe the general public, like myself, isn't really fully aware of? Is there kind of one industry that stands out to you?
You know, there's not really one, and I think that's one of the beauties of Cincinnati, right, is that we have such a diverse economy that there's not one industry that we are really over-reliant on. You know, that being said, I think, again, our food and ag business, I used to always joke, like, one of our biggest project last year was Nestle Purina, and it was a pet food plant, but that is a food and ag project, even though we don't think of it as pet food as being in the food industry.
Is that, that's the plant they're building in Claremont County?
Yes.
That place is enormous.
Enormous. And it's
gosh, the place is huge.
It's huge. And it's their first new build ground up facility since the mid 70s, which I think just shows us how much they believed in what we had and the fact that we had the perfect site for them to be able to do it. But we look at, you know, the craft beer, and we look at suppliers to Kroger, and we look at companies like 80 Acres, and we look at the pet food. So that food and ag piece of the business for us is growing really, really quickly. And then I think, as I mentioned earlier, the electrification of the vehicles, whether it is in the battery components or suppliers, that's really taking off. And there's a lot of interest in that area as well. And I think those are things that we don't traditionally think about in the Cincinnati market.
When you say the food industry, are you also including like food flavoring in that? Because I've heard there's like a big market in, or there's a lot of jobs around in for it.
Yeah. We do have a huge flavoring component, and that is wrapped up. I joke sometimes that unfortunately a lot of that, if you look at the traditional like NAICS classification, it's more of a chemical plant, which kind of is weird when you think about it in food, but we do wrap that all into our food industry, and we have a huge like over concentration, if you will, in that food and that flavoring piece of it.
Yeah. Sherry?
Are you getting ready? Are there big announcements coming that you want to break right now?
I knew this question was coming, and I didn't know who was going to ask it, so I'm glad Sherry did.
I mean, I feel like we had a pretty good day on Monday.
It came from Jobs, Ohio, and the mayor had hoped that it would be like the big rollout of divisions coming to the foundry in the state of the city.
Yeah, I really can't complain when I've got the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the mayor all sitting on the stage together, and they're able to make an announcement of both Jobs, Ohio, and, you know, the city of Cincinnati's role. So, like, I know that that bummed out the mayor, but, man, that was a beautiful way to make an announcement to have everybody there. So that was a big one. We do think we still have some announcements coming prior to year end, but nothing that we're going to break today.
Fair enough.
Great stuff, Kim. Appreciate you joining us here today, and wish you and Reddy all the best as you continue to work on the great work that you do in bringing jobs here and growing jobs.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. It was fun.
Thanks again to Kim Lauterbach for joining us here, and I can wonk out a lot on that stuff, Sherry, just from going back to the days of covering business here for the Inquirer, and it's just fascinating. It's fascinating to me, like the jobs and the job ministry and how they recruit jobs. And
well, you know, a lot of those stories percolate in the Coolidge's
absolutely
office guest room. And so I was overhearing things about divisions the other day. And I mean, it's exciting to watch. You know, we're not going to have a downtown Macy's. We're not. And you have to pivot. And 3CDC did that. And when you walk by it now, like, it's just a gut reno inside, right? The shell's still there, but you can tell, like, inside is amazing. And it just, you know, lured all of these great things. Past guest, Brittany.
I was getting ready to say, Brittany Ruby Miller talking about Jeff Ruby's moving. This is,
yeah,
and for anybody reference, that's the building we're talking about, the old Macy's. Jeff Ruby's Steakhouse is going to move there. And you can tell
it's happening sooner rather than later. There's a big sign outside, like, we're hiring. I was like,
oh, I haven't seen that. Okay. I just walked around downtown today. I didn't look over there.
And so, yeah, it's exciting to watch the things come in. I think there's so much construction downtown, and I would be happy to bitch about traffic getting from one side to the other if you'd like. But the truth of the matter is, I think that people, you know, if they really come back, they're working from home after the pandemic kind of thing. There are some really great things happening downtown. We're in those that awkward stage right now of getting it done.
And I think people will be surprised too. And before we get to our That's So Cincinnati moment, as we're just talking about this, I think people will be pleasantly surprised to see some new things. Like you look up and just right here at 4th and Vine, down the street from the Enquirer, is the brand new Courtyard by Marriott Hotel, and it's. For anyone reference-wise, maybe folks remember the old Brugger's Bagels across from Starbucks. It's that building. And just a beautiful building and now a hotel. And I think
– we have a gallery up. I know we took a bunch of photos of it on Cincinnati.com.
Downtown, I know so many people are bullish on it. Count me among those that it's things are going to start picking up and – coming back. And
we went out last week. I think that's our That's So Cincinnati
it is
moment.
Can I do a drum roll? Our That's So Cincinnati moment of the week is
we were together and we went to a new, like, outdoor indoor bar space in Over the Rhine called Somerset, and there is so nothing cool like it around here.
So cool. On McMicken. And like you said, Over the Rhine, almost right across the street from Rothenburg Elementary School.
I felt like we were in – so we had a meet and greet for all of the Cincinnati candidates, the school board, council members. Now, we planned this at the last minute because that's how I roll. And I'm really busy. We planned it at the last minute. I was like, I don't know who's going to come. What was the worst case scenario? You and I sit around, come up with some good story ideas, right? And we're together.
Burl buys us a couple beers.
Exactly.
Carl brings some food. Well, there's no food, but, you know, Carl buys us a few beers.
But we had a big turnout. I really got to know some of the candidates. But just that space.
Yeah.
I felt full of energy. It was like we were kind of milling around a botanical garden. It was really lovely, and it was exciting to see that we're getting that kind of place, because it also reminded me of, like, Ghost Baby, also in Over the Rhine, just a kind of different thing that we haven't had here before. And it's really, I think, starting to showcase our nightlife and going out, and it's exciting to see.
Very much so, and I'll tell you. Yeah, you're right, Sherry. Like, just it's very, very open. There's a really beautiful courtyard, and even the other areas are open. And
we had lovely weather. They did not for the FIFA visit, but it was kind of like soccer weather, and so the FIFA visitors did not seem to mind. It was overcast at best, and both days I watched the weather. Like, I was like, how about now? How about now? How about now?
And we had a couple hundred people there, and I felt like one of our better events that we've hosted. And, you know, folks, our listeners, our loyal listeners, just be on the lookout with, you know, and we'll let you know when we host events. And I think with things starting to maybe kind of the pandemic, hopefully, fingers crossed, you know, it's kind of on the backside of that now. Maybe we'll start it going into 2022. Having some more events, and we'll let you know here Because I know
if you're not in our politics Facebook group, the Greater Cincinnati Politics Group, the Inquirer, you know, it's an Inquirer platform. I know a lot of people are a little bit like, you need to monitor that more, but it is hard to monitor Facebook. I don't know if anybody knows that, but that's true. And, you know, really, if you're not a part of that group, we advertise things there, but also, you know, it's a landing spot for our stories and other people's stories. You know, I always encourage other reporters, put your stories in there. I like to see the, you know, comments and the engagement. And
I love it.
There's going to be a slew of stories coming over the next week, and we'll put them in there. And so that's a good place to kind of find what we're working on.
Definitely. And, you know, with that, thank you so much for your listening. Thank you so much for your feedback. Thanks for your engagement in our coverage, Cincinnati.com, on Twitter, obviously in the Inquirer. And be looking for our coverage, our stories, and my columns. We're going to have reporters out all over the place and photographers. This election coming up Tuesday night, and I know I'm probably preaching to the choir here, but so important to get out and vote in this election. Just as important.
You could go do it now at the Board of Elections in Norwood.
No lines, and no lines if you live in Claremont and Warren and Butler or beyond in Ohio. There are no elections in Kentucky this year, but yeah. Get out there and vote. It's critically important, especially in a year where we're seeing so much of national narratives and national politics really take over local politics. I just think it's really, really critical, extra critical this year to get out and vote in your off-year local elections. So with that, we will catch you next week after the election.